Okay, guys, let's get started. So this session we're doing a little bit on the PERFORM acronym that Toby talked a little bit about. So there will be a little bit of overlap, but we're wanting this session to be a lot more kind of reflect on your experiences as a leader, reflect on your experiences in a team. And we want it to be really interactive. So there'll be a couple of questions. You can ask questions whenever you like, pipe up with ideas. We want this, there's a lot of people who are really capable in this room, and we want those ideas, like everyone, to be benefiting from those ideas. So we're looking at fun, high-performing teams today, and we think that the mission of God is so big and so exciting that we get to be involved in, and one of the ways that we can try and do this well is to equip ourselves really well this year in many different ways. So teams are kind of like diamonds in that they have heaps of different facets that when they're all put together, this team can function really well and achieve God's purposes. So we're gonna start off with P, which is purpose. Sorry, so PERFORM. Can anyone remember the acronym? P for? E for?
Equip.
R for? Wait.
Yeah,
F for? O for?
Organized.
R for? Review. M for?
Motivate.
Yes. I don't remember it. Oh. I'll test you on it next week. So purpose. So we touched on this a little bit last year before the ministry fair, in that we think your team or your community group is really motivated and enthused by the purpose that it has. If you or in a team that doesn't seem to have a purpose, or the purpose is really muddy, it can get really disheartening, and you can feel like you're just being used rather than that your skills are being used for God's purposes. So we think, so purpose brings enthusiasm and motivation and direction. And if you can have three purposes this year or three goals, we think that that would be a great way of getting your team moving in the right direction. So our question for purpose is, where is it? Do I and my team know our purpose? So have a think about last year. If you came to the leadership thing just before ministry fair, we talked about purpose and we tried to get everyone to write down their purpose for their role descriptors. So if you can remember that, or if you're in a team now, have a think about what the purpose might be. Do you know that purpose, and can you communicate that well? Have a chat to the person next to you. I read this thing the other day, which was like, vision leaks. So it's like, if your vision is in a bucket, it's a bucket with a hole. So that vision is always going to be depleting. So you've just got to keep filling it up all the time. You've got to be talking about your purpose every time you meet. You've got to be coming at it at different angles all the time. It's not enough just to say it once at the beginning of the year. You've got to keep saying it, because people will forget.
All right. Equip. The second aspect, or the second facet of the diamond of high-performing teams, you could say, is equipping people to be able to accomplish the purpose for which your team or group exists. Reasonably simple, because teams are a gathering of different people doing different things for the same purpose. That's what they're doing. So think of a soccer team. You've got a right back and a left back, and a right midfield, and a left midfield, and a striker. And they're all doing different things. They're performing different roles, but they need to be equipped to do their role best in order to achieve the purpose of winning the soccer game. Pretty simple, team dynamics. We do it kind of intuitively throughout a bunch of different things. And we should be doing this in our teams as well. We want to be equipping people to do the thing that they're doing, or to develop a new skill that they could do that would help our team to accomplish its purpose. And so we want the people in our teams to understand their role, to own their role, and to be equipped to do it as best they possibly can. They're the kind of three aspects that we want them to have. And so I'll give you an example. If someone owns their role, someone really owns their role, they're not going to call you up as the leader, you know, the day before kids' church is about to start, right? And be like, hey, sorry, I can't make it tomorrow. They'll call you up and they'll say, hey, Brian, I can't make it tomorrow, but I've organised for this person to fill in for me, and I've handed off the things that I need to do to them. They've owned their role. That role has to happen. It's important. It's crucial to the ministry that we're doing. And in owning that role, they know what they need to do. They know what needs to be done. And so they can hand it on, pass it on to someone else, equipping more people to do that. And as leaders of teams, we want to be equipping people to be able to do different tasks in order for us to achieve our goals. One of the other crucial things is we've got to have clarity of purpose and clarity in terms of what the people are to be doing in their different roles in order for them to be able to do it well and in order for us to be able to train them to do it well. So if we think about core groups in our community groups, right? There's no clarity as to what we would like them to do, let's just say that they're organizing the dinner roster. What's the purpose of dinner together? Fellowship. Yeah, relationship. You want awesome food there every week so that people can turn up, eat, and enjoy one another's company. It's connecting people together. That's the purpose of the person. And so if you're equipping them to be able to do that, you know, like they might, I mean, what's an example? They might not be able to use Excel, like me. Equip me to be able to do Excel so that I can put the roster in a beautiful thing and I can send it out to people and there'll be clarity. There'll be the dates, there'll be the people, there'll be the dietary requirements, all of that. But it's for the purpose of fellowship that we're gathering around a meal. And so you give them the purpose and you equip them to be able to do that role. And we can do this across all of our teams. Now, quick kind of biblical thoughts on this. We need to multiply the workers in order to reach the people that are around us. There's 100,000 people within a 2-kilometre radius of Surry Hills. And so we need to multiply our workers in order to be able to reach all those people. It's a great thing, and I talk to my friends at other churches and they say it's a fantastic thing. I can't believe that you get like 30 leaders along to your leadership training day. That's fantastic. And I'm looking around, I'm like, 30 leaders to reach 100,000 people? We've got 180 people in community groups, 70% of which might be serving, to reach 100,000 people in our area. It's not many. We need to be equipping. Now, Jesus does this. He gathers his disciples and teaches them. So John 13 to 17 last year was Jesus gathering his disciples in the upper room and training them, equipping them to go and serve without him. Disciples learn from that, and then when they go on in Acts 6, they equip a bunch of other people to do more roles so that they can care for people and preach the word. And you see as well, Paul, he takes people and he equips them in serving God, in preaching the word, in loving people and defending the faith, and then he sends them out. He equips them and sends them out. So there's a biblical warrant for us to be equipping people to do that, and what Archie shared this morning is really, really crucial as well. So here's the question. Does your team or core group understand and own their role, and are they equipped to carry it out? All right, relational. When we think about teams and groups, we don't just think about them kind of just as people in general. We should be thinking about them as a family. I think we think about our groups as our family at church, or a smaller family within the bigger family. But we should be thinking about our teams in the same way, that they aren't just a random gathering of people. Actually, it's brothers and sisters in Christ who've been won by the blood of Jesus, washed clean, raised to life to be a child of God for all eternity. And that is the person that you're working alongside of in your ministry, or that you are serving by leading them. That's the reality of what our teams and our groups are. And so as we do that, we want to be growing and building our relationship with them because they are members of the one family of God. And there's two crucial things for building relationships in your team and in your group, and that's time and trust. The two crucial elements that that we need to be considering and thinking about. Because as a leader, when you're leading a team, there's a couple of questions that your team will be asking about you, or your group will be asking about you when they first meet you, when you're first developing that relationship with them. They'll be asking you, can I trust you? Can I trust you with sharing this prayer point? Can I trust you that to look out for me in this ministry? Can I trust you to look out for me at church? Do you care about me enough to watch out for me, to want me to develop, to want me to grow? And are you committed to what we're doing together? So if we're community group leaders, is my community group leader committed to growing in their knowledge and love of Jesus? Because if they're not that committed to growing in their knowledge and love of Jesus, then probably the rest of us will just coast because they're not really fussed about growing, so why should I grow? If it's welcoming. There's a great line said by one of our members, said, welcoming isn't welcoming people to the building, you're welcoming them to the community of God's people. So your job isn't over once they've gone in the front door. Your job is over once they're a part of your family. I mean, I didn't say that, so that's great. That's probably why it sounds so good. That they're capturing kind of relational aspects of what we're doing. And we need to be able to give time and to show people that they can trust us to look out for them, to love them, to care for them, and to want to raise them up to be godly, mature Christians. There's the really hard thing about the relational side of things is that there's no set formula. Do these three steps and you'll have a close relational group or a close relational team. It depends on the people who are in your team. So as leaders, it also takes a bit of patience. And that's where the time kind of comes in. Commitment in giving time to the team for them to be able to develop relationships with one another so that they can know that they are connected to something and to someone in their team. Here's the question. How can I show my team that I love them? Or how can I show my group that I love them and I care about their relationship with God? Have a crack at that. We'll come back in a couple of minutes. Just quickly from me, I think one thing that's got to come to the fore for us here is we've got to pray that Christ's love fills us and overflows from us to the rest of the people in our team and in our group. That should be kind of our baseline. We want to be filled so much with the love of Christ that we are loving those around us. So prayer must be the crucial element. And the other side is probably listening to different members of our groups and teams and giving them the time in order for them to be able to express the stuff that's going on for them. Becky, haven't had some fun.
Tell my fun today. So we're up to fun, which may not seem like a super important thing, or it may not seem like something you need to think about. But in my experience, fun is something that makes a team. It will make your team one that you enjoy being a part of. It will make your like laughing with a team, laughing with people, just bonds you no matter what. I think one of my favorite times with the staff team lately has been we were on staff retreat and at Justin Yoon's office and we were playing ping pong and Toby gets super competitive and just like every time he did something good or did something bad just yelled his head off and this is in like this office where they could hear, like it was super embarrassing but super fun.
Their clients on the phone complaining.
Yeah, so I think teams that have fun together and teams that laugh together are ones that are actually enjoying being together, and that's what one of our purposes is this year. We want people to be joyfully serving. So you need to reflect a little bit on how you have fun, how your team has fun, and also so be purposeful about it in the time you have together. Schedule it in. Schedule this 10 minutes. We're going to have some fun. We're going to do some laughing. But also be okay if it fails. Like, that's totally fine as well. Be okay to be like, we tried to have fun. We're going to do it different next week. We're going to do it different. And like, you can be like, give someone else the responsibility next time you are doing a team meeting. Be like, you're fun. You go for it. Yes. Yes. So be intentional about it, but also be okay if it doesn't necessarily work. Just try again next time. So our question for this one is, do you have fun together when you serve? Be honest. Be honest with yourselves and your teams.
Yeah, we are.
So let's move on to, after fun, we have organized. Anna brought this up. Just before in Toby's vision talk, that no one likes a disorganized team. No one likes a team that seems to take up their time with no purpose. So organization communicates care. It communicates that you care about the people whose time you are asking for, but it also communicates care about the purpose that you have. So if I'm running a kids leaders meeting and I'm the person who turns up late. I'm the person who is kind of vague about what we're doing. I'm the person who hasn't given out any resources. That communicates to my team that I don't really care. And even though that's not necessarily my heart, that's what I'm giving people and that's what they're learning. So it's really, really important to be structured about it sometimes, to have an agenda, to have those resources out early so that people can know what's happening and people know that their time isn't going to be wasted. I think it's easy for people, if they like you, to listen to you, but for them to trust you and follow you, you have to give them something to trust. So you've got to give them how much you believe in the ministry that you're doing and how much you believe in the team and what God's doing through the team. And you've got to communicate that through your organization. So our question for this one is, do you plan ahead for meetings? Do you plan ahead for your community group?
All right, we're up to review. And reviewing's pretty simple. It's just looking back to see the thing that you have done in the past, to see whether you did it well or whether it can improve. It's really powerful for team culture doing reviews with one another. It helps the team to consider and commit to what is best for you to do going forward. You come to a solution as a group to a problem. You bring many minds to bear on a particular issue. You honestly think about the things that you're doing and you commit to doing something differently. And if a team, I'm going to say this, that if a team is really going to grow, if it's not reviewing, it will never grow. So that's kind of how important reviews are. But what makes a good review? That's a great question. There's three things for us to think about. Be aware, first of all, that people feel vulnerable during a review. It's like being stripped naked in front of a group. If you're the person who's done the thing and everyone else is talking about how terrible it is, you're like, be gentle. And so being mindful of that will set up your group's tone and the way that you engage with that. And if you're leading the review as a leader, that'll help you to manage the tone of the group and to point to the things that are helpful and to reinforce the person. The next two steps are if someone has done something or if the group has done something together, get them to share something that they did but they think they could have done it better. That's the first step. And then get them to share something they did and they think that it went pretty well. Let them talk about those things and then draw out of them how they think they might have improved it. A lot of people, you'll do something, you'll be like, I should have done that. That was terrible. And you'll start to think already about what the solution is. And if they can start to develop that solution in conversation with the other people who are around them, it's a far gentler process than everyone being like, now let's talk about what went wrong. And then everyone just like, bam, 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 loads them up with all these terrible things that they've done. And you come out of that thinking, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to step out again. I'm never going to try anything again because when I did it, I just got shot down. So they're kind of the three elements that... that make a good review. As a leader, what you really want to do is you want to be really mindful of encouraging and praising the person for the thing that they've done, providing some constructive feedback, but the constructive feedback is always focused on the solution to the problem. When you did this, you were kind of yelling at people. So next time, maybe let's use a microphone. And you don't have to yell. There's a solution, and you're giving them the feedback that's what their voice was like when they were doing it. I know I yell all the time, so I get this feedback whether I got a microphone or not. I'm just constantly yelling at people. And the review needs to be focused on: did we achieve our goal? Did we achieve our purpose? And there will always be. Areas that we fall short, and so a review is always essential because we need to see the areas that we fall short so that we can improve for the next time. And I was thinking about this week. I'm like, this is one of the brilliant things about following and serving a perfect God. Is I can look at the things that he does and I know that they're perfect, and I can look at the things that I do and I'm like, whoa, so much room for improvement. And that frees me up, actually. It frees me up to be reviewed because I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I'm not God. So if someone delivers something to me and tells me, hey, what you did was less than perfect, I'd be like, yeah, tell me. Tell me more so that I can change that. Because my identity then isn't wrapped up in this kind of semblance of perfection. I'm actually, I'm just gonna have a little aside here. One of the things that we do as humans really, really well is measure ourselves against other humans. Incredibly unhelpful. Because that gives us a superiority, because we can always find someone who's worse than us. And you look at them and you're like, what a terrible person. I'm amazing, aren't I? Do you know what I mean? Like, we compare ourselves to other people. But what we need to be doing is, as Christians, we need to be comparing ourselves with who God is. That's the proper, contrast that we should be drawing. But other people around you, they might be better, they might be worse. We're not comparing ourselves with them. We can see the things that they do, and if they're doing them well, we might model ourselves off them or copy them on those things. If they're doing stuff badly, we might avoid doing those particular things because we see how damaging they are. But our ultimate thing is to compare ourselves to God. And He's perfect, and we're not. And we know that, and that frees us up to be reviewed and to review the things that we're doing, knowing that we are pursuing this God who is a God of perfection. And that's why we want to do things well, because we want to serve a God of perfection as best we possibly can, knowing that it will be less than perfect. So that's a really important thing. I've been thinking about that over the last couple of weeks, and I found it really helpful just thinking through the way that we do things. So here's a question for us to think about. What part of doing a review well do you find most challenging? Or if you're a community group leader, think about this. Have you ever reviewed a study that you've led with someone else? And what did you learn? Have a go. We'll come back in a couple of minutes. All right, final one. Am motivated by the word of God. A bit longer than one word, but this is the most important one. So it's the most important one because it's the one that gives the character to all of our other ones. It gives us our purpose. It gives us the skills and tasks that we want to equip people in. It forms up the relationships. It helps us to have fun. It brings all of it together. Because the reason we do ministry is to serve God. And in order to do that best, and for the right reasons, we've got to listen to the things that God says in order to serve Him in the way that is appropriate to serve Him. It can be quite easy for us to do ministry, I think, for the wrong reasons. We can do it out of obligation to someone else. here's a good one. Andy comes to you and he says, we just really need community group leaders. Bad motivation, right? Because the motivation should be, I want to see God's people grown. I want to serve God's people by serving up the word of God to them every week and praying that the Spirit will work through that and change them to be more like Jesus. That's the motivation for doing it, not, okay, I'll fill in the position just because Andy needs this, or I guess I better do Dan because Nate needs it, or, you know, we're short on welcomers, so I'll do it as a favor to this person. No. The motivation is set if we're a team that is focused on the word of God. And that character is quite particular because the team that is kind of immersed and motivated by the word of God will be digging into the word of God. And as they dig into the word of God, they'll realize that all of the Bible points to Jesus. And so they will be people who are motivated by the death and resurrection of Jesus. That will be the central motivation for all of our ministry teams, because it is all by Him, for Him, through Him, to Him. That's the central thing. That's what the word gives us. It just resets our focus on why we're serving. It resets our focus on what we're hoping to achieve. It gives us confidence to try and do it because God is the one who is at work through us in order to bring about that purpose. It's a fantastic thing. And so we should be diving in constantly as our teams to set our focus on what we're hoping to achieve. This is really easy for community groups because we study the Bible every week. We study the Bible in order to grow in our knowledge and love of God. But we should be constantly resetting how we're doing our group based on the things that we're hearing from God's word. In service teams, you don't need to have a full-on community group every week when you meet. It might just be someone sharing a verse and something that it's changed for. You might just read and then pray about that. Someone might structure their prayer on that. There's so many creative ways that you can bring the Word of God to bear in your team so that your team is infused with that cross-centered service attitude that comes from reading the Bible. And as we do that, I think that leads us then, if we're a team that is motivated by the Word of God, then we will be at all teams and all community groups that will be prayerful people. God is the one who brings the growth. God is the one who changes people. God is the one who works through us. God is the one who makes people alive. God is the one who brings people to Him. God is the one who saves them. God is the one who's washed them clean by sending His Son, Jesus. It's His work. And so we should be relying on His strength and His power in order to accomplish all of those things. So we must be, if we're soaked in the Word of God, we must be prayerful teams. We must be prayerful groups. Here's a question. What passage or verse could your team or group adopt to focus and motivate them to achieve their outcome or their purpose? So what's a verse or a passage that you could adopt as a team? And then how are you going to adopt that as a team? What are your creative ideas for making that your theme for your team? All right, that's perform. What we're going to do now is we're going to have a 5-minute break, and then we're going to kind of break up all around this area. And in your booklets, you've got an assessment sheet to assess teams or groups that you're in. Give yourself a score and be honest about those ones. I don't think our teams or groups are going to be perfect, so there's going to be some that you're lower at and some that you're higher on. And that might reflect your personality. So the questions next to that is just to get you reflecting a little bit on your group, but on your leadership style as well. Some of these things will come naturally to you, others not so much. And so then after you've done that, pick your two kind of ones that you think you need to work on the most. And then over the page is the first term dates, the week set out Monday through Sunday. And just try and get some stuff in. How are you going to plan to do some of those things over the first term? So it might be purpose, and you say, okay, in the first week, I want to share what the purpose is with our team. That's a simple one, but, you know, making it obvious. You know, then 2 weeks later, you might be like, all right, I'm going to write a little song for our purpose. And I'm going to share that after 2 weeks. And that's going to be our little memory hook for that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to do that. And then 2 weeks later, you know, I'm going to ask someone else to kind of reflect on the purpose and share the purpose. And then a couple of weeks later after that, I'm going to ask people, you know, on the spot in our meeting, you know, oh, what's our purpose as a team? What are we here for? And try and so you're just trying to step it out, develop it, that by the end of first term, you might have moved a step on or a couple of steps on in your assessment sheet. And then, you know, after first term, we'll reassess and then we'll start to plan for second term as well. So give that a crack, whatever your two lowest are. Be creative, try a bunch of different things, but plan it out and be kind of strategic on doing that.